Now, in our pursuit of truth, we come to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And if anyone asks you, what is a Royal Bible Church about? You tell them we're a group of people in pursuit of the truth of God's Word. And so we take up the next paragraph in our journey through Romans chapter 8. We'll read verses 1 through 11. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the fleshly mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Probably the human mind will never have the opportunity to approach greater truth than what we just read. What a great thing. And last week we looked particularly at verse 1, which is so filled with great truth. There is now no condemnation. We were consigned to hell, condemned to hell by our sin. But because of what God did through Christ, we are no longer condemned, no longer under wrath, never can be, no, never, ever. And what the Holy Spirit had Paul write here are absolutes. There's nothing relative here. No means no. And it's an either or position. You're either condemned or you're not. And for those of us in Christ, we are now not condemned. Now, as we take up the truth from verses 5 through 11, Paul is going to do that by showing us some contrasts. First of all, between two kinds of people. First of all, those who live according to the flesh. And he uses that term over and over in this paragraph. Those that live according to the flesh. Well, let's talk about flesh for a moment. What does Paul mean by that? He means primarily our sinful nature, our humanness, the secular part of us. that lives for this world. And that part of us is anti-God, anti-Christ, and we're not in neutral. Now, the popular gospel today is that man is in neutral, and he can make a decision anytime he wants to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, to be forgiven of sin. The Bible teaches us that we are not in neutral. We enter life with a sinful nature. We live according to the flesh, which is anti-God and anti-Christ, and until and unless God invades us and does something about that by the Holy Spirit, creating faith in us and causing us to believe, we remain anti-God, anti-Christ. So Paul mentions those that live according to the flesh. That means to be dominated by our sinful nature, dominated by our humanness, leaving God out, or controlled by, governed by, living according to our animal appetites means to live according to the flesh. Now, probably your translation will use the word walk. Particularly in the New Testament letters, the word walk means live. And it will be better for us if we learn to read it that way. Not those who walk according to the Spirit or the flesh, but those who live. So he says that there are those who live according to the flesh. And then he says there are those who live according to the Spirit in verse 4. So here is the life in Christ. Here is living the Christian life. It is living according to the Holy Spirit. And it means the same thing we learned about the flesh. It means to be under, dominated by, governed by, controlled by the Holy Spirit rather than me. My flesh used to control me. Now I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I want to be dominated by, I want to be dependent upon Him and gladly live according to the Spirit. So Paul teaches us what this life is about by contrasting two people, those who live according to the flesh and those who live according to the Spirit. Now we have a big question. Is Paul talking about two kinds of Christians? Or is he talking about a non-Christian and a Christian? I am absolutely convinced he is writing about those who live according to the flesh. They are unbelievers. They are not Christians. Those who live according to the Spirit are Christians. They are in Christ. So there is a popular teaching that there are two kinds of Christians, carnal Christians and spirit-filled Christians. And I say to you, the Bible has no such teaching. The word translated carnal and the word translated flesh are one and the same word. And carnal should really be translated flesh. Those who live according to the flesh are not in Christ and not believers. So we're talking about unbelievers and believers. Believers live according to the Spirit. Perfectly? No way. But that's our life. Now he's going to talk about two directions of life, which are practically the same thing. He says that those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the things of the flesh. Now, this is a kind of a contemporary term we use, a mindset. Our mind is set towards something, which means that the whole trend of life is directed towards self and sin and Satan and society. Now, if you ever have to preach a sermon, or if you ever have to teach a Sunday school class, I've just given you a four-point sermon there, all beginning with S's. Sin, self, Satan, and society. It's something here anyway. Society. It's as hard as saying a royal, isn't it? Right.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Where does this come from? Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 speaks of us being dead in sin, that we live according to our own fleshly desires, that we live according to the prince of the power of the air, and we do what the rest of society does, live according to the flesh. This person is in a direction of being occupied by the flesh, wallowing in the things of the flesh. Now, that person could be very sophisticated and have an external life that really, really looks good. And their social status, their financial status can be just right. But they cannot please God. Those that are in the flesh, the non-Christian, cannot please God. No matter how much they give to the poor, no matter how much they help their neighbors, no matter how good they look, it does not please God, cannot, never will, because it isn't from righteousness. Righteousness comes from the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit can produce righteous works in a human being. So Paul talks about two kinds of people, those who live according to the flesh, unbelievers, those who live according to the Spirit, those who are in Christ. And then he explains that these people live two directions of life. One has the mindset toward the flesh, one has the mindset toward the Spirit. So where is our attention this morning? And with whom are we occupied? And what is the direction of our life? Toward godliness and holiness and worship and serving and giving and loving the Bible and loving God's elect and having eternal values? That's the life in the Spirit, living according to the Spirit. So we have two people, ways of flesh and spirit, two directions, flesh and spirit. And then in this passage, he takes up two issues, which again are flesh and spirit. He just keeps repeating this. Paul, we say, why are you so repetitious? And why do you keep repeating to us what you've already taught us? And what will he say to you and me? We're slow learners. We need repetition over and over and over. Here's the issue of the flesh. He said, the flesh, the life in the flesh, results in death. Spiritual, eternal, and separation from God. Furthermore, he states that this issue of life in the flesh is hostile to God. Those that live according to the flesh are at enmity with God. Verse 7, and that word enmity relates to enemy and hatred. And I want to be bold enough to say this morning, even on tape, that every unbeliever hates God. They're not necessarily conscious of it. They would not admit that. But that is what is going on. They are at enmity with God. They are an enemy of God. And the Bible repeats that in Romans 5. Here's another thing about the flesh, the issue. They do not submit to God's law. There is a rebellion in the heart of every unbeliever, and they are not obedient. Now, here's another problem with them. They cannot. They cannot obey God. The fleshly mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. See, here's the problem with the modern gospel. Everybody's in neutral. If you present the gospel with the right emotion and have the right lighting and the right music, you can get people to come to Christ. When the Bible says they can't. They cannot, neither indeed can they. The natural mind receives not the things of the Spirit. And so we need to be ever thankful for God's salvation, because he did something for us that we could not do on our own. We were without the ability to make a decision. We didn't want to. The flesh is flesh and couldn't be changed. It was interesting this morning in our phone call to Tim. He taught the staff Bible study yesterday and was in the passage in John 8 where Jesus said to them, "Why don't you accept my words? Why don't you understand what I'm saying?" And then he said to them, "Because you're not able." That's the condition of the unbeliever. They're not able. They cannot. And no amount of persuasion or fancy talk on our part will do it. It's only the invasion of the Holy Spirit. So here's the issue of the flesh. It brings death, it brings separation, does not submit to the law of God, cannot obey, does not have the ability, and one more thing. Again, cannot please God. Cannot please God. The flesh is flesh. So now he takes up what is this? What are the issues coming out of life in the Spirit? He says it's the opposite of death, it's life and peace. All the opposites of the flesh are the issues in the life in the Spirit, raised to life. We were dead in sin, and a Christian is a person who has been resurrected to life. And there's no clearer case of this than in with Lazarus, the friend of Jesus who had died, been in the grave 4 days. And he comes to the sisters. The sisters had said, if you'd been here earlier, he would not have died. But it was God's purpose, predestinated plan, that Lazarus should die. And in the King James Version, you have some interesting translations with words that we don't ordinarily use. And so Jesus goes out there by the grave, and he says to them, "Roll away the stone." And Martha objects. And she says, "He's been dead 4 days, and by now he stinketh." And I've always thought that was a very interesting translation. But Jesus used this opportunity to show the reality of salvation. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus says, "Well, Lord, I'm really not ready. I don't think so. I've got a lot of things I want to do." And before, no, Lazarus, come forth. It is a command. To believe the gospel is a command. It is not a weak, flimsy invitation where God is left hanging because some might not come. "But Bill, you just said they can't come." And Jesus tells him to come. What are you going to do with that? With the command comes the enablement. Jesus walked into the synagogue and there was a man with a paralyzed arm. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man couldn't do that on his own. With the command, he gives the enablement. And with the command to believe the gospel, he gives the enablement to his elect, and we believe. So we are spiritually alive by the Holy Spirit. And it's a life of peace. We have two people. We have two directions. We have two issues. And we have two realms. And they're the same thing. In the flesh and in the spirit. Living in the flesh is a realm. It's a kingdom. It's a position. How many of you have ever heard that word position before? Everybody here. It's an important thing, our position, because it's fixed and it's absolute. In the flesh is a realm of position. It's not just a standard or a principle. It is a way of life dominated by living according to our sinful nature, self-joined to sin. It's a union. Now, the other realm is in the spirit. In the flesh, in the spirit, either or. These Roman Christians, the real ones, were not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And Paul says to them, "But you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit." Verse 9. "If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So we have either or, in the flesh or in the spirit. But he says to the Christian, "You are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit." There is the indwelling presence of God Almighty. And I think it's biblically accurate and correct to say that God the Father dwells in us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dwells in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And the emphasis in the New Testament is about the Spirit's indwelling, because it isn't a physical thing, it's a spiritual union. He dwells in our spirit. God lives in us. That's the Christian life, dominated, living by the presence of the Holy Spirit in the flesh, in the spirit. Now, we were in the flesh. God came to us in salvation, picked us up, lifted us out, and put us over here in the realm of the spirit. These are totally opposite realms, kingdoms. And it's either or. You can't be in the middle. You're either in the flesh or in the spirit. And if there's a question about it, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. He said to them, "If the Holy Spirit is not in you, you do not belong to Christ." Now, this refutes a teaching by Pentecostal charismatic people who say you become a Christian, and then later, as you seek and as you reach a certain plateau and get rid of all sin, then the Holy Spirit will come to you and fill you. That is a terrible thing to lay on people, which is the opposite of the biblical teaching. You cannot become a Christian without the Holy Spirit doing it, filling you, invading your life. He's already here. And if the Holy Spirit is not in you, you're not a Christian. That's what Paul said. I didn't think of that. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. He's still in the flesh. He's still in debt. And he needs to be regenerated. And so here we have this great teaching in this paragraph, which outlines for us the reality of being a Christian, the reality of what that life looks like, and how thankful we are that God has given us this new position. It doesn't mean we live perfectly, doesn't mean we don't still sin, but it means that God deals with us now in a father-son family relationship. And our sin can no longer condemn us. And so we're thankful that there is now no condemnation to those in Christ. And our desire is to live according to the Spirit. I want to repeat the outline that Ray mentioned, and I hope you write it down. And Ray, you have totally encouraged me, because I don't think anybody's ever remembered an outline I've given. So that was great. How do you live according to the Spirit, and how do you have a right relationship to the Holy Spirit? What do you do every morning? You can say good morning. First one, acknowledge His presence. He's here. Don't ignore that. Don't live as if He is not. Secondly, accept His person. Oh, and here's the great thing about this outline. You have four A's and four P's. You can remember that. Acknowledge His presence. Accept His person. He is a person. He's not an it. He's not some ethereal force out here in the universe. He is a person like we are. We have fellowship together. You can talk to Him. He can speak to you through the Word of God. Acknowledge His presence. Accept His person. Agree with His purpose. The Bible makes it clear that it is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to conform us to Christ. And that takes all kinds of experiences. It seems like mostly it's suffering. Mostly it's difficulty to humble us, to conform us to Christ, to cause us to depend on Him to get through this life. And then finally, appropriate His power. It means count on His power. Don't live it alone. If you drive a car, you'll want an engine in it. And if you live as a Christian, you'll want the generating power of the Holy Spirit in you to do that. So let's take that today and be thankful for the teaching of Scripture about our Christian life. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the book of Romans and for chapter 8 and for verses 1 to 11, which give us great truth and clear direction. Do not leave us in confusion. Pray now that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the truth of this passage will invade our minds, our spirit, our life, and cause us to be people who live according to the Spirit. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.